You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what they laugh at. You can tell a lot about a person by what they laugh at. But you can also tell a lot about a person about what they cry over, what they cry about. And this morning, I want to take you into the Bible, and we're going to look at the shortest verse in the English Bible. It just has 9 letters. John 11:35. And I always tell people that tell me, why can't memorize Bible verses? I'm too old, they're too hard. And I always tell them, oh yeah, there's some that you can memorize if you really wanted to. John 11:35. Jesus wept. The second shortest verse in the Bible, actually in the Greek Bible, this is the shortest verse because it's only one word. Now, in the English Bible, it's 2 words, and it has 14 letters. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. In the English Bible, it says, rejoice evermore. In the Greek Bible, it's ever rejoicing. One word. But I want to look at the shortest verse in the English Bible tonight, this morning. And that verse, Jesus wept. Because, again, you can tell a lot about a person over what he cries about. And there's only 2 times in the Bible, believe it or not, where it says that the Son of God wept. You know, as I got to thinking about this, I thought surely there must be more instances in the Bible where Jesus shed tears. I said, surely at the end of his life, when he was betrayed by his disciples, when he was arrested and everyone left him, those that had called themselves his friends, those that he had taught and walked with and slept with and preached to and those that shared in his work on this earth, when they turned their back on him and fled as he was arrested, I said, surely the Son of God that had come and taken the form of a man, surely it says in one of the Gospels that when they forsook him, he shed a few tears. But if you go back, as I did this week, and read the gospel accounts again, not one time at the end of his life when he was forsaken by his friends does Jesus weep. I mean, if we were forsaken by our good friends, if we were forsaken by those that we depended on to help us, we would cry. But Jesus didn't. I thought to myself, although I knew the answer to this one, surely when he was undergoing the pain and the shame that he went in his last few hours, when he was hauled before Pilate, when he was hauled before King Herod, when the soldiers plucked his beard off his face and hit him with sticks and slapped him and spit on him, when they whipped him with that cat of 9 tails, when they strung him up on the cross and drove those nails through his hands and his feet. Surely we would weep. Surely we would cry out with pain. But not one time in any of the Gospels do you see that Jesus shed a tear when he was dying on Calvary. There's only 2 times in the Bible that mention the fact that Jesus shed tears. And again, I think we can tell a lot about Jesus by looking at those 2 times. Because those 2 times as Jesus shed tears just goes to show how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. And so I hope you don't feel cheated this morning. I only have a 2-point message. Because there's only 2 times in the Bible that it says that Jesus wept. The first one was here in John chapter 11. The story here in John chapter 11, we read just part of it, is the story of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. They were friends of Jesus, people that Jesus loved, people that loved Jesus. He would often stop by their house to fellowship with them. He would often stop by their house to eat one of Martha's good meals. He would often stop by their house to sit at the table with Lazarus and enjoy the friendship that he did in that home in Bethany. Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. They said, "Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick." And yet, as we read in John chapter 11, even when Jesus heard that his buddy Lazarus was sick, he stayed two more days in the place that he was. And in that time, in those days that he stayed where he was, Lazarus dies. He's buried. By the time Jesus and his disciples get there, he's been in his tomb for 4 days. He comes to Bethany. Martha hears that he's coming and runs out to meet him and says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you had come when we called you, you could have done to Lazarus what you've done to many other people. It doesn't matter what disease he had. It didn't matter what sickness he had. Lord Jesus, if you would have been here, you could have said the words and he would have been healed. He wouldn't have to die." And Jesus told Martha, he said, "Your brother shall rise again. He'll rise again." And Martha said, "I know. In the resurrection, in the last days, I know he'll rise again." And Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You believe that, Martha? Do you believe that? And Martha, I think, you know, we give Peter a lot of credit when he made that confession, when Jesus asked the question to the disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered for the disciples, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We give Peter a lot of credit. But here's a lady whose brother has just passed away. Here's a lady who probably wondered what she was going to live on. Lazarus took care of his two sisters. And when Jesus asked the question, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" This lady said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Martha calls Mary. Mary comes to Jesus. She falls at his feet as she did on many occasions. She said the same thing that her sister did. She said, "Lord, if you would have been here, if only you had come when we called you, our brother would not have to die. You have the power to heal him. I believe that you are the Christ. And you are the great physician, and that you control and can dispatch every sickness and every illness. And if you would have been here, Lazarus would have not died." And even though it's not recorded in the scripture, Mary might not have said it, but I think both she and Martha thought it. "Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come when we called you? We love you and we know that you love us. If you would have come when we called you, Lazarus would still be alive." They were both weeping. Their friends gathered around them were weeping. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw Mary and Martha weeping, when he saw the crowd that were gathered around them weeping, that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now listen, he knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that in just a few minutes, a few moments, he was going to stand in that little cemetery outside the town of Bethany. He knew that he was going to be taken to the grave, the tomb of Lazarus. He knew that in a few minutes, he was going to call out, "Lazarus, come forth!" And that dead man wrapped up in his grave clothes was going to come hopping out of that tomb alive and well. He knew all that. And yet, when he saw Mary and Martha and those gathered around them weeping, the Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept. What caused him to weep? What caused him to weep was that those that he loved were hurting. Those that he loved were weeping, and he wept with them. I want to tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed. Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus that we're going to know in heaven is the same Jesus that walked the face of the earth 2,000 years ago. Oh yes, he'll be a spirit. But I think that we'll be able to see the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He hasn't changed. And when people that Jesus loves, when they weep today, He weeps with them. He weeps with them. You know, sometimes because of what's going on in our life, we shed tears. I was thinking about some of our widows this week. Those that are here that have lost their husbands. Their husbands are in heaven. Sometimes when a song is sung or I say something, one of those widows will go out and they'll have a tear in their eye. And they say, "Pastor, I remembered my," and they'll call his name. And they'll shed a tear because of the memory and the missing that they're doing for that one they called their husband. I want to tell you something this morning. You never, never shed a tear without your Savior up in heaven weeping with you. You never cry alone. I know sometimes when you're by yourself, you shed tears and you think that, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows how I feel. Nobody knows that I'm weeping tonight because I missed that one that I called my husband. I want to tell you something this morning. No, 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 no. You never weep alone because the one that went to Calvary to buy your salvation loves you. And when you weep, He weeps. I thought about those this week that buried a loved one. Those moms, those dads that buried a child. Those children that buried parents. Those that buried friends and those that were very close to them. You can't help but think about that when you go to a funeral home and you think about eternity. In fact, I was talking to somebody, Annie, after the funeral on Friday, and he said, "You know, I've never been to a funeral where the pastor gave an invitation like that." And I said, "Oh, the opportunity that people miss when they don't preach the gospel at a funeral or a memorial service." I said, "I do it every time, and just about every time somebody raises their hand and asks Jesus to be their Savior." But I thought about those folks that lost loved ones this week. They shed tears. They cried. Sometimes some of those people might have thought, "Well, nobody knows exactly how I feel. Nobody knows exactly the pain that I feel in my heart because I've laid a parent or I've laid a child or I've laid a brother or a sister. I've seen them lay in the casket and we're going to lay them in the grave." And nobody knows how I feel. I want to tell you something this morning. Remind you of something you already know. We have a Savior that was tempted in all points like as we. He knows the pain that you feel. He knows the heartache that you feel. And when you weep, He weeps with you. We have a Savior that we can tell a lot about if we look at the times that He wept. Only two times recorded in the Bible. And the first one was when He stood with those that He loved and felt their pain and felt their hurt and wept with them. He does the same for us today. The second time it's mentioned in the Bible that Jesus wept is in Luke chapter 19. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 41 down through verse 44. "And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." This story was when Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. His earthly ministry was about over. Coming in, riding on the back of an ass, which was foretold in the prophets, was a sign that the end of his earthly ministry was near. And as he rode into Jerusalem, the Bible said that he looked at that city and he wept. And he wept because he had come with a message of peace and they have missed it. He had come with a message of salvation, a message of forgiveness, a message of joy. And he had presented it to the Jews, and not only to the Jews, but everybody that would listen. And he had presented that message over and over and over again in the parables that he taught, in the sermons that he preached, in the lessons that he presented, on the hillsides and in the temples and in different people's homes, by a well and with a religious ruler. At night, to a man up in a sycamore tree, over and over and over, to individuals and to crowd. He preached that message of forgiveness, that message of salvation, that message of joy. And he looked at Jerusalem, the city of the Jews, and it represented all the people that had rejected that message, all the people that had turned down his salvation, all the people that had rejected his forgiveness. And the Bible says, he wept. He wept. He knew what was coming to the city of Jerusalem, but he knew what was coming to the souls of those people that had said no to the gift of eternal life that he offered. Adam sang about it a moment ago. One day he'll say to a group of people as they stand before the throne, and the book of life is open. One day he'll say, I think with tears running down his cheeks, depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Jesus weeps. He weeps today for people that reject the gospel. He weeps today for people that reject the message of forgiveness and salvation. You see, this morning, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, this morning, there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. It's not physical death as we know it. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God, the one that made us, that longs to have a relationship with us, that longs to enjoy fellowship with us. The wages of sin is separation from Him. But while we were sinners, God loved us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he offers to us, to every single person, to every whosoever, the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just like any other gift, to make it ours, all we got to do is take it. All we got to do is receive it. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, in the next few moments, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. You can either take it or leave it. You can either receive it or reject it. You can either accept it or you can turn away from it. And the decision that you make in the next few moments will determine what happens in heaven. Because you see, the Bible says that if you receive it, you will cause joy in heaven. In Luke 15:7, the Bible says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Joy will be in heaven over one
sinner that repenteth. You know, when people get saved, I often think about what's going on in heaven. I think there is joy in heaven. I think there's tremendous joy in heaven. And you know what? I don't think they're laid-back, staid Baptist in heaven. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to get a little of that Pentecostal blood that we all have, but we hold back. Because I think when somebody gets saved in heaven, they don't worry about what they look like. They don't worry about what people are going to say. They say, hallelujah, glory to God. And I think the one that is leading the celebration is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the angels are joining him in their rejoicing. I think there's moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and others and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters. And they're all joining in that celebration, rejoicing when somebody gets saved. But likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't changed. And I think when somebody rejects him, and I think when somebody says no, and I think when somebody walks away from the gospel, another tear runs down his cheek. He says, why did you say no? Why? I died for you. I paid for your sins. And he weeps when sinners say no. So this morning, what are you going to do? You only have two choices. You can take him or reject him. If you reject him, he'll weep, just like he did over Jerusalem. But if you receive him, there'll be joy in heaven over you coming to the Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of the message, the simplicity of the message about how we can come to you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Thank you for making it so simple that even the children back in junior church, as Adam preaches to them the same message, they can understand that the only way to get their sins forgiven is to come to the one who paid for every one of them on Calvary's cross. And because of what he did on Calvary, he can offer the gift of salvation to every person. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to save them, I pray today would be the day that right now they would see their sin. They would see the penalty for that sin. They would see the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, and they would come to Christ and receive him this morning. Father, maybe it's somebody that's been here 100 times. Maybe it's somebody that's only been here a couple times. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Help them to come to Jesus this morning. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Some going through a period of trial. Some with heartaches. Some with things that never go away, that hurt. Father, remind us this morning that when we weep, we don't weep alone, that Jesus weeps with us. Bless this time of invitation. Again, the altar is open. Father, help people to come and use it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.